Welcome back, guys, to Behind the Greek Apron Podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Sophie. Sit back and relax on episode number 5, and come join us as we feature a beautiful Greek food blogger in the States who blogs over at siftandwhisk.com. If you love Greek pastries, please join us and listen in. We hope you enjoy. Today's episode is sponsored by my very own cookbook, A Drop of Lavi and My Greek Soul, a new take on classic Greek cuisine. This is my second cookbook, and I would love for you guys to have it in your very own kitchen. What is A Drop of Lavi and My Greek Soul? It is much more than just a cookbook. It is Greek recipes intertwining traditional and modern styles to bring the best of Greek cooking to your table. It's perfect for a beginner or an intermediate foodie who appreciates the Greek cuisine. Check it out on Amazon.com, and the link will be in our description box. Hey guys, this is Christina from Behind the Greek Apron Podcast. Today, we are on episode number 5, and we have a wonderful featured foodie coming up. So I'm going to allow Sophie from the Netherlands to introduce our featured foodie.
Hi, everyone. And our featured foodie is Christiana Papalexopoulou Adeleke.
Yay. Welcome, Christiana.
Yay. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Christina and Sophie. I'm beyond excited to be on the podcast. A listener since your day one, since your first episode. I absolutely love what you're doing, and I love you, you know, as a individual. So I'm very excited to talk all about, you know, Greek food and food blogging.
So yes, we are really excited to have you, Christiana. First of all, you guys, really quick, we're going to do a quick intro on Christiana. Christiana is Greek from Greece. You are living, if I'm not mistaken, in Maryland. Is that correct?
Yes, I live in Elkridge, Maryland right now.
And that is pretty cool. I have some cousins that live out there. We did talk about that. So yeah. Small world. You guys, those that are tuning in, episode number 5, we have Christiana on. And Christiana is a food blogger. You blog at siftandwhisk.com.
Yes, and exactly.
Jens, can you tell us a little bit about, first of all, how did you come from Greece all the way over to the States? If you can share a little bit.
Sure, all right. So I'm a love immigrant, right?
So I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a love immigrant. I love that.
Yeah, I know it kind of sounds a bit cheesy, but that's the truth. So I used to live and work in Santorini Island. This is where I met my now husband. So I decided to move to the States to be with him. And the rest is history. I'm here right now. And moving to the US also contributed to me starting the food blog. So I have, you know, like a hobby and something to remind me of my Greek roots.
That's wonderful.
So I don't know if you would like me to give a brief like intro about what Sift and Whisk is.
Yes, we would love that.
For actually, our listeners. Mm-hmm. All right. So Sift and Whisk is mainly a baking blog. And my mission is to share decadent desserts approachable to all home bakers. So I have a major sweet tooth. I love desserts too much. I'm not a professional pastry chef. I know, Christina, you have, you are a trained chef. So I just wanted to introduce to mainly the US audience, you know, Greek food is good, but we do have a great variety of Greek desserts, and they're not difficult at all. You can make it also, you know, at your house. So I started with an Instagram account. My husband, you know, supported me. He was like, you should definitely start sharing your bakes. And that's, you know, led up to me creating Sift and Whisk blog, which I mainly create, develop, and photoshoot Greek-inspired desserts. And my ultimate goal is to connect with my readers through foolproof recipes. The majority of my recipes come from my grandma, my yaya, and my mom. And also eye-catching photos. I found a passion in photo shooting. I love photo shooting. I love desserts. I combine these two together and you get Sift and Whisk.
That sounds wonderful. That's amazing.
Thank you, Sophie.
What is your favorite dessert?
Favorite dessert, if only I could pick one. So I will share two. My first favorite, it's a Greek mosaico. All right, chocolate salami. I love
chocolate
that dessert.
Salami.
Yeah. It's the one I always used to ask my mom to make for my birthday. Every single year, the same dessert. And then my second favorite will be galaktoboureko.
Oh, κοπέλα μου, γαλακτομπούρικο, το αγαπημένο μου. I love it. That's my favorite dessert.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I love γαλακτομπούρικο. I can eat the whole ταψί on my own.
Me too. I can actually do the same thing. The γαλακτομπούρικο is one of the first pastries that I ask for. My husband is from Κεφαλονιά, οπότε από εκεί είναι ένα από τα σπεσιαλιτέ που φτιάχνουν στη Κεφαλονιά. Οπότε that's usually something that I always go for. Ένα καπουτσίνο φρέντο και ένα κομμάτι γαλακτομπούρικο.
Τέλεια.
All right, Christina, could you do me a favor and tell me one fun fact about you?
One fun fact about me. All right, I'm going to give you a fact related to food. So I'm a foodie. I love food way too much. So whenever I have to photo shoot for the blog, like 9 out of 10 times, I will end up eating the actual dessert I need to photo shoot. So I always have to make maybe more like double batch or something. So I will be safe. Like I will be trying to get that perfect bite shot of this chocolate chip cookie, and I will end up eating 12 cookies while photo shooting. So I don't know if other food bloggers can relate, but this is something I do a lot.
I relate. I eat everything I make.
All right.
That's normal. Aren't we supposed to be making what we like and then just give it out to the world and see if they like what we're making?
I mean, I don't know. I eat too much sugar, I guess. Thankfully, my husband, like, he can't complain. He eats almost everything I make. And then I keep sharing to family and friends.
Well, that's great. All right. Well, that means you're a good baker.
Yeah.
He eats everything. So mainly you just bake. Do you like to also cook?
Yeah, I like to cook. But I just have a passion about the desserts more than food.
So you just serve pastries and no food?
No. I mean, I have to cook. I have to cook. So I will cook, bifteka and arakas and moussakas, macaronia makima. This is my husband's favorite, by the way. I will cook all the Greek mainstream, but I also love cooking Thai cuisine, Chinese. Yeah. So that.
You said macaronia mekima, and I'm like starving right now.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know. I love macaronia mekima too.
Let's talk about Santorini, my dear, because we share something in common.
Yes.
My parents, it's really a weird story with Christiana because she's like, oh my gosh, I listened to your podcast, Behind the Greek Apron. And Sophie, I'm not sure if I told you this story. I probably did. We used to spend summers in Megalochori in Santorini, and Christiana told me, and I'll have her tell this story, if I'm not mistaken, you were working at a winery in that village.
Yes,
Can you say a little bit about this?
Yeah, sure. So Santorini is like my second, home. I love Santorini. I miss it, Santorini, so much. So I went there after I graduated college to work for the season. And I started working in the biggest winery in Santorini. I don't know if I'm allowed to say the name.
Yeah. It should be fine.
Yeah, okay. So it is called Santo Wines, and it's located in Pyrgos, which is very close to Megalochori, you know, and it has this amazing volcano view, perfect sunsets. So I started working there, and I ended up moving permanently to Santorini. I learned everything about winemaking. We organized wine tours, you know, wine tastings. It's a really big chapter of my life. And I urge everyone visiting Santorini to visit at least one winery. The winemaking in Santorini is a very big part of the island. There are more than 15 local wineries. So it's an amazing experience for everyone, Greek or non-Greek, to experience. Yeah.
Yes. So Santo Wines, what is your favorite wine from there?
All right. So my favorite wine is called Athiri. And Athiri actually is a white grape variety.
Okay.
Which is from Santorini. And it's very light, aromatic, fruity, kind of similar to Sauvignon Blanc.
Mm-hmm.
So I just enjoy Athiri because you can drink it as it is, you know. Or you can just pair with something like seafood, something very light, a meze, and it's perfect for a summer night. Great.
You're making me go back.
Yeah. Hopefully Sophie, soon.
Sophie's like, only for the
only for a summer night?
No, I mean, I guess I think about Greece like it's summer all year long, right? I guess that's why I said summer. Because in Santorini, you never really feel winter.
So when are we going back to Megalochori? We're going together.
Yeah, definitely next year is on my plans. Next year for sure.
Is Greece in your summer plans this year? Or is it definitely next?
Not this year. Definitely next year because I have a wedding to attend. You know how this goes. You want to go for vacation, then you have to see family, friends, you know. So definitely next summer.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I will try to sneak in your luggage.
Yeah, definitely. I would love that. I would love that. Don't worry. I will have an extra luggage for you.
I'm really tall. I'm tall, my dear. So we'll need like two luggages to kind of like...
Yeah, no, we'll make it work. We're Greek. We'll make it work.
We will. Yeah. We'll duct tape me like in half and then... I'm just kidding. All right, guys.
You know, Greeks think outside the box. So they will definitely find a way to get you into that suitcase, Christina. Don't worry.
It's
okay. No. So those who are tuning in today, we're on episode number 5, Behind the Greek Apron. I'm Christina from California. Sophie in the Netherlands. And... Yes, we have our wonderful featured foodie today, Christiana from Sipped and Whisk. You guys, we're going to go on a quick break, and on this break, we will play some lovely Greek music. Guys, and we are back from our break. This is Behind the Greek Apron podcast. I'm Christina, and we have my host Sophie in the Netherlands. So we have Christiana today on our show. And Christiana, what do you think about Greek food in the States? Your true honest answer.
All right. So yeah, I will be honest. All right. I haven't yet found a Greek restaurant in the US that feels authentic to me. The Greek restaurants I've visited so far are the cheap restaurants you will find in Greek islands, you know, that they serve the mainstream dishes and the quality is not great. I don't know if I'm too snob because you know what they say for Greeks, right? No Greek will be satisfied if he doesn't eat in his house by you know, or like we say, so I have a yes So I have my own lathe, you know. So whatever other lathe I'm going to try, it will never be good enough to me. So I don't want to be 100% like biased or negative. I think I just haven't found yet the right Greek restaurant to me.
That makes sense, because, and I think probably we're all nodding our heads, because it's hard, to be honest, to find something like a good gyro, let's say.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
And for me personally, I don't know, I want to ask you guys this. When I am in Greece, I always want the true gyro with patates, right? Where are the French fries, you know?
Yes. Yes. So,
what about you, Sophie?
Well, I'm a vegetarian, so I don't eat gyro, but I do know, because we have a friend who owns a tavern close by who told us the reason why the tastes are not the same is because some countries do not allow the spices enter the country, because, for example, here they don't eat these specific spices on the food. So they try to make it into a balance between the country's taste and the original countries, a balance between those two countries, mm-hmm. Greece and, for example, the Netherlands, or Greece and the United States. I don't know about the US, but I know about the Netherlands. He had told us that specific spices are not allowed. So this is the reason why the gyro does not taste the same as it does in Greece.
That's interesting. Makes sense. And I would suppose that it also has to do with the meat itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, the meat that is delivered here is actually from Greece.
Yeah. I mean, for US specifically.
For the US, yeah. Yes. Yeah, that would be an issue. So, yeah, I do understand what you mean in that case.
Mm. And going into this topic, I do have another question for you, Christiana. Mm-hmm. Did you find it challenging to move from Greece to the USA? What are like the pros and the cons, I guess?
All right. I like that one. All right. So, I mean, yes, it was quite challenging. I believe moving abroad is challenging itself. Now imagine when I moved, there is an ongoing global pandemic. So it can feel very overwhelming, but the good thing out of it, once again, I might sound cheesy. My husband is going to listen to the podcast and he's going to be like, you keep mentioning me. Yeah. So my husband is my biggest supporter. So he really helped me, you know, adjust to my new reality. And then secondly, baking really kept me sane and, you know, again, helped me adjust and be calm, you know, and optimistic about the future.
Yes.
On the other hand, the pros, don't get me wrong, I love living in the US because you have so many possibilities here. The accessibility is beyond, you know, what you can imagine in Greece. Whatever time I need something from everyday stuff like banks, you know, or other services, from the ingredients I'm looking for or the food I get to try. There are just, you know, so many options for everything you might think about. That's what I tell my friends when we discuss. A crazy idea comes to your mind, you just go, you know, on Google, type it, and there will be something nearby about that thing.
Yeah, this makes me really happy to hear this about what you just said, because all this time I'm complaining about the USA. Sorry, guys. I'm like, demarasi, you know, Ameriki. Sorry, everyone. But I think I miss Greece, right? And for you to say, and of course you miss Greece. Of course you miss your family. But it's really nice to hear you say that about, right, Sophie? Like to hear that, because I guess we all kind of complain about our countries, but I have to, it just brought a smile to my face to hear what you just said. So thank you. And sure. I know it's a challenge for you to move away from your family and kind of give up everything. That's what my boyfriend did. He gave up everything to just sell his car. Yeah, Nestora his family's in Athens. So,
oh, all right.
He gave up everything, and he's here for 10 years without seeing his family. So, you know, and in that aspect, we all have to kind of say, well, that person came here to make a better living for themselves. So, Sophie understands, you understand now. Sophie did it opposite. She went, I did the same thing too. We went from the States to Greece. So,
and from Greece to the Netherlands. So, right. We're kind of all in the same situation. We're all, let's say, kind of immigrants to other countries.
Yeah.
To various situations. You, because it was you fell in love. Oh, my situation was completely different. Christina's situation was different. So, yeah, we're all living in, well, you guys are living in the same country. I'm the one in Europe.
That's funny. I actually went to Greece for love too on different occasions. Yeah. And so, yeah, love, it happened many times in Greece. So,
there's something in the air, you know, that expression, κάτι έχει ο αέρας, κάτι έχει ο αέρας.
Ναι, ναι, έτσι. Έτσι ακριβώς.
Κάτι έχει το αέρας της Ελλάδος. Exactly. Ναι, κάτι ρε παιδί μου, κάτι.
And you know what they say for Santorini specifically, right? You will either meet someone, get married, or you will either break up, so.
Yes, it's true. And my cousin lives on the island. She had a baby, right, with another guy from Santorini. They're together there, and yeah, I hear that a lot. It is an island of love, because when I was there, Christiana, I was single, right? Here I am, single, with my parents, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do here? It's like all couples, and here I am looking at the Greek guys at the time, you know? My friends owned a hotel on the island, Studio Artemis, Rena and Kozma. And I was supposed to actually be a chef there, do like the menu for them. But instead I went to Skiathos instead. So anyway, we'll get back to on track here. You guys, those that are tuning in, we're with Sifton Whisk, Christiana. She's a beautiful person. I haven't met her personally yet, but I would love to. We're only a few hours flight away. So Christiana, Sifton Whisk, we're going to go back to your blog really quick. Those who want to check out some beautiful Greek recipes will also include the links at the end of the call. But Sifton Whisk is the blog that Christiana blogs at. So this blog, and if we already kind of talked about this, we'll just talk about it again for the listeners. How did, like, your love for sweets obviously started a long time ago, many years ago?
Oh, yeah. I guess since birth, since I can remember myself.
Since you got on this train?
Yeah.
I have to ask really quick, are you a Nutella fan?
Oh, what is that? Sorry.
Nutella, like merenda.
Yeah,
like the similar,
I'm obsessed.
Okay.
With Nutella or merenda? Which out of the, which?
Which one?
I would say Nutella.
Bravo!
Nutella. I can literally eat, you know, like with a spoon out of the jar, straight out of the jar.
Okay, that's awesome. Interesting because I don't like chocolate. So I don't eat Nutella or merenda.
Yeah, Sophie, how the heck do you not like chocolate, man?
I think because I like milk. Yeah, because I like milk more and I don't like that really... I don't know. I just don't like chocolate. It's just, I prefer something that has milk in it.
Christiana, she's crazy, man.
No, I'm not. I don't drink Coca-Cola. I drink 7-Up if I find her lemonade or orange juice. I prefer that. So it's just a matter of taste. I prefer galaktoburiko.
I know that you love your white chocolate, and I'm going to give her a hard time. My brother-in-law does not like chocolate. So you guys, when I hear that, I'm like, no way.
This way.
It's okay. So when we hang out, Christiana, we'll be eating Nutella in the jar. And Sophie will have her white chocolate.
I'll be sitting there. We got like the burrito, just looking at both of you saying, this is good. And Christiana will be saying, can I have a piece? Okay.
No. Sophie, θα φέρω τις λουκουμάδες. We're going to top the λουκουμάδες with Nutella. we'll make them with us, right? And you can have them with honey.
Oh, thank you so much.
And but we're going to put a little bit of Nutella and blindfold you.
I was looking at the Instagram account and I saw the Lucumados and I almost like grabbed it from the photo. I'm like, oh my God, this looks amazing. And of course, yes. I had to comment underneath after that, you know.
Speaking of her photography, I do want to talk about that really quick.
Oh, yes.
Jana, your photography is really good. And I know Sophie's nodding her head because we're really picky with photography, food photography. We've both been blogging for, you know, years now. And when I saw you messaged me, I went right to your page. I'm like, oh my gosh, these photos are beautiful.
Yeah.
So can you share a little bit of how you started? Because I think you taught you're self-taught, right? By just learning.
Yeah. So first I started photo shooting on my phone. And I started back in May, actually 1 year ago. And then my husband gifted me for my birthday a DSLR camera. And I started, you know, watching YouTube videos and other food bloggers sharing, you know, their tips. I learned how to use my camera. Photo shooting for me, it's really a passion. I get fascinated. I can photo shoot for like 2-3 hours, the same exactly subject from different angles and, you know, close up and overhead shots. And I really believe to what they say, we eat with our eyes first. So I'm always aiming to pass that message to create this eye-catching photo that's when you see it on your Instagram feed or on Pinterest, you won't, you know, scroll down. You will just stop and look at it and you will want to know what this is, you know?
Yeah. I totally get that. And there's a lot of good Pinterest pictures. I know we all know that. We're all on Pinterest. And Sophie, she does really good photography too. And
You both do a good photography, and I strongly believe that, and that should be the case actually, that everyone should have their own style. So I didn't know at first about food photography, just, you know, popped out on my Instagram feed page. So I was like, oh, this is a nice photo. I think I would like to take food photos since I cook and I make desserts all the time. But how can I differentiate myself from, you know, the photo that looks exactly the same for 10, 20 food bloggers? So I'm always trying to put a personal touch. And I see that with your photos. If I see a photo of you, Christina, or you, Sophie, I will know that this is a photo from Cucina's Kitchen. This is a photo from Food Zesty. You have your signature style. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's a beautiful soul. I know. See, Sophie? See?
Oh, pues significa.
Oh, Alicia. Alicia to no. Alicia to no.
That was nice.
That was very nice.
Anyone listening right now, you know, food bloggers or people that want to be food bloggers, listen to that because that is the key to be unique, to have your own style. I love what you just said, Christiana. So thank you for that. We're going to go on our second break. Really quick, I'm going to play another beautiful Greek song, and we will be right back.
Okay, hi guys, we're back with Christiana and Behind the Greek Apron. And I have a question for you, Christiana, which I ask most of our guests, all of our guests, not most of them. So what is your favorite kitchen utensil?
All right, that's a nice one. So I'm gonna be predictable. So my favorite kitchen utensils will be a flour sifter. I have like 5 or 6, and I love my whisk too, you know, my hand whisk. Also, I have a nice collection. And can I add the third one?
Of course, as many as you like.
Yeah, and I love my spatula too. Like,
oh, you gotta love spatulas.
Yeah,
absolutely. But I'm curious, what kind of spatula do you have? Is it a brand name or is it just like a, you know, cheapo winkle kind of thing?
I have all sort of. I have like, you know, I usually will go depending on the color or if there is a specific print. Like my absolute favorite right now, it has a floral, you know, print out that it's very nice. So.
Oh, wow. Is that seriously on the spatula, the stick or the plastic part?
It's actually on the plastic, not the stick.
I want to see one of those on your, you know, Instagram scroll account. I want to see that because I can't find things like that here. And I definitely want to see that.
I think it was a Martha Stewart's collection or something that I found one day. Yeah. And it was just very vibrant and nice.
Okay. So now you have to do a food reel for us. Specifically. Yes. I love your food reels on Instagram. I think if you guys haven't seen her Instagram page yet, Sipped and Whisk, you guys have to go there. And she does, Christiana does this really cool food reel where she shows behind the scenes. And I'm like, bravo, because not a lot of people understand how much work it takes for us as food bloggers to do an actual photo of just one photo shot that we like from the hundreds that we take. So... I love your blog. I love your blog. I was on it this morning and yesterday, and I think the day before that. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to eat the screen because everything is just, it's so beautifully done. So you have done a really good job. And yes, you're welcome. Really quick, what are some challenges that you can talk about as a blogger? Like what have been the challenges and maybe the pros too?
Yeah, so I've discussed with Sophie before about this, and I had mentioned that the most challenging part to me, and it still is, I'm trying to tackle it, is time management. If you want to get serious with food blogging, you really have to be consistent. You really have to produce quality content. So when a person, you know, when a viewer, a reader sees a nice photo, they cannot really comprehend what goes behind that photo. And this is the recipe testing, the blogging itself, you know, writing down the recipe and the article, the photo shooting, the post editing, the fails that you're gonna have as you're recipe testing. There are so many different aspects that go to food blogging that people don't really know. And this is the most challenging part when you decide to take your hobby into a full-time business. And that's the process I'm in right now. You know, I work towards monetizing my blog because I can really see myself working as a food blogger full time.
Sophie, did you hear that? That's what we're all doing right now. And it's
we're trying to at least.
I know
that is something.
Can I say something?
Yes.
Yeah, just real quick. So it can feel very overwhelming because you get to see all these food bloggers growing overnight or whatsoever, but I always say to myself, Christiana, stay true to yourself. You know, everybody's timing is different. And then I will just do this simple experiment. I will look, I will go, you know, through my phone camera and I will see a photo I took last year and a photo I took last week. And I will automatically see the growth. And this will keep me, you know, on track.
I love that. And
exactly.
If I can say something, it may make you guys feel better. And Sophie knows this. I've been blogging for, I don't know how many years, and I've been wanting to create this business probably for 10 years to just make income on blogging. And when I say blogging, also when I'm doing collaborations with Greek companies, right? This is a whole nother topic for all of us that we could talk about one day. But Christiana, keep going. Don't stop. Sophie has pushed me in the right direction, and I really thank her for that. You have pushed me in the right direction. I've never seen so many Greek bloggers in my life, you guys. There's so many right now. It's very competitive.
Yes.
But I would like to say that three of us and others like to help each other. So as long as you keep in that track of, yes, I can do this. Yes, I can create my own content. Don't worry about the other ones growing. That's why I have to tell myself too. Why is this person growing way farther higher up in 2 years, right? But we can't do that. We just have to say, this is who I am. Siga, siga. We're going to grow by ourselves.
Because this is what you need to do. We're all unique. So, you know, what I see going on is many people are comparing themselves to others, but we all started a different time frame. So for other people, it happens overnight. For others, it might take 4 years. For others, it might take 6 years.
10 right here.
Well, you're already established.
I don't know, Sophie.
Doing okay. So for me, this is what I think. If you're focused and you pay attention to what you're doing, then it will happen. If you sit there and you compare yourself to other people, then you're wasting your time just comparing yourself. And that's where I think most food bloggers or bloggers in general make the mistake. They compare themselves, and I don't do that. I do what I do the best way I can, and I'm always discovering new things that I want to do. So this is my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Sophie is right. One of the hardest platforms, and this is actually where I met both of you, or no, Sophie was following me on my blog and other places, but
yes,
Instagram is the hardest place to, yes. You know,
I've got to agree.
It really is. And if Instagram ever tunes into our podcast, ever, 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 please take off all the likes and the views. That's the goal I love in my life, for that platform to just be like that. So,
well, I did tell you, I think it was a couple of weeks ago when I picked up my phone, when I had a little bit of a break, I had a pop-up message that said, do you want to continue to see likes or not? But then it disappeared because I was going to say, no, I don't want to see these things because I just prefer looking at the photos and seeing each person's individual work. This is what I do. This is what I like doing. But
yeah,
I agree with both of you. Instagram is too competitive, and sometimes I don't understand what's going on there.
So Sifton Whisk, you guys on Instagram. What other places can people be your page on social media?
Okay, so you will find me blogging at siftandwhisk.com. I share a new recipe every Thursday. I'm actually thinking of starting to share two recipes every week, just to, you know, have more variety. And then you will find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest at siftandwhisk.
Thank you.
You should all go, you know, check my work. I love to connect with fellow Greek food bloggers and, you know, just anyone that loves Greek cuisine. I'm sure they will appreciate Greek desserts, because once again, I believe people, at least here in the US, are not as familiarized with Greek desserts as they are with Greek food.
I agree with that. And yeah, listeners, this is Sifton Whisk. So you can find Christiana at siftandwhisk.com. And I just want to ask you one last question. This is just something that I like to ask as well. What is your favorite Greek quote of all time?
Okay, so it will be from Socrates. And it will be en ida oti uden ida, which is, in ancient Greek.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that I know nothing.
That is one of my favorites.
Oh, really?
Literally, yes.
Oh,
it's a good one. It's a good one.
That is a good one. Yes, it is.
If you ever get a hold of my cookbook, you'll understand that I'm huge into Greek quotes. They're all over my cookbooks. And
I have to definitely, you know, purchase your cookbook. Definitely.
I will personally hand over a copy to you and Sophie one day, so you can count on that.
All right.
So you guys, we're going to close. It was really nice to have you. You are always welcome on our show, right, Sophie?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so very much. It was a pleasure to have you on, Christiana.
Σας ευχαριστώ πάρα πάρα πολύ. It was my pleasure being with you. It almost felt like, you know, we were face to face, sipping some Greek coffee. Hopefully, yes. I will be able to meet you soon, and I wish you nothing more than success. You know, to your
thank
podcast.
You, thank you.
That's so good to us. Thank you so much.
Yes, and you know, any last words that you want to say, my dear, on the podcast?
So yeah, one last thanks will go. You know, thank you, Moromu.
I have a question. Does he understand Greek?
Oh yeah, I'm teaching him Greek, and he's teaching me, you know, Nigerian.
Is he there? Is he there right now?
No, he's not right now.
I was gonna say you could have him say hi on the show.
Yes.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you want to say hi? Do you want to say hi to any of your family or friends around the world?
Oh yeah. So yes, mama. Σ' αγαπώ πολύ, μου λείπεις. To all my friends and to everyone who believed that Sift and Whisk, you know, and they have supported me through this blogging journey, I appreciate you all. And just everyone stay tuned, because more exciting things are coming to Sift and Whisk.
I love that. I'm almost already crying.
Oh my, me too.
And hi, yes, hi to your mama and everybody. And please, you
yes,
guys.
Yes, mama. Yes, it's mama.
So, again, thank you very much. Seriously, we really enjoyed your company. You're welcome anytime on Behind the Greek Apron podcast. This is Christina. I'm your host from California. We have Sophie all the way in the Netherlands. And thank you, Christiana, for coming on our show.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you.